So three different passages of Scripture today coming to us from three different places. First, Psalm 150 from the Old Testament, and I'll be reading this morning from The Message, Eugene Peterson's translation. Ephesians 4:15 will be from the New Revised Standard Version, your pew Bibles. And then finally, John 14:12 from The Voice. Listen to the Word of God, Psalm 150. Alleluia! Praise God in His holy house of worship. Praise Him under the open skies. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His magnificent greatness. Praise Him with a blast on the trumpet. Praise with strumming soft strings. Praise Him with castanets and dance. Praise Him with banjo and flute. Praise Him with cymbals and a big bass drum. Praise Him with fiddles and mandolin. Let every living, breathing creature praise God. Alleluia. Ephesians 4:15 from your pew Bible simply says this: but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Finally, John 14:12 from The Voice. Jesus is speaking and says, I tell you the truth. Whoever believes in Me will be able to do whatever I have done. But they will do even greater things because I will return to be with the Father. The same God who inspired these words incline our hearts and our minds to their understanding. Pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to You, O God, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So we are beginning this morning, as I mentioned during our announcements, the ever-popular Christianity and Culture series. And this is Volume 5, as I call it, which means for 5 years, at some point during the summer, we have been thinking together about the connection of our faith with things that go on in culture. We've been thinking together about how God's presence is manifest in the culture around us and among us, and how that presence connects with Scripture, or vice versa. Now, for those of you who are new to OHPC, and even those of you who aren't, it may be helpful for us to be reminded that part of our Presbyterian and Reformed tradition, as well as sacred Scripture, bears witness to the reality that God's presence is not limited to the church. It is not even limited to our own experience, however we would define experience. And God's Word becomes God's Word to us through the gift of faith. And what's more, this Word, with a capital W, is not just understood as sacred Scripture. It is also the very presence of Jesus Himself, the Word made flesh, dwelling among us and around us in any number of ways, shapes, and forms. There is a long line of historical connections to Christ and culture, and also some good Reformed theology that says there are, in essence, two books, two sources, two ways that God makes God's self known. The first book, or the first source, the first way, is referred to in our Reformed tradition as general revelation. And that traditionally means that we understand God through the gift of creation and its order and its beauty, the things that are around us. This explains, I think, in part, why so many people, when they look at the stars in the sky, especially the last few nights, if you've not been able to do that, to get yourself in a place where you can look at the stars, it has been unbelievably beautiful. And when people can see all the stars or look at an amazing sunset or stand on a beach and look at the vast expanse of the ocean, this explains why so many people do those things and then say, I don't know how people can see these things and not see God. Somehow God makes himself visible to us through the beauty of his creation. It's also this notion of general revelation that makes me say, when I'm chowing down on fish fry or dinosaur barbecue or Reese's peanut butter cups, this is what God eats. The goodness of these things remind us of the goodness of God. God is present, albeit mysteriously, in the world around us, in the creation. Now, the second book is traditionally called Special Revelation and has come to be understood primarily as sacred scripture, the authoritative word of God that many of us just happen to be reading through this year in the entire year. So this series assumes that there is something more going on in the general revelation, in nature, in creation, than often meets our five senses and understanding. And this something more that we sense, the sense of God in creation, points to, at least for me, special revelation. It points to Scripture in some way, shape, or form. It assumes that God may be speaking with a revelation and an authoritative force in the general revelation, in the created world, that rivals that which is revealed to us in special revelation, Scripture. In other words, this sermon series will assume that God can be speaking to his people through music, through film, through art, through science, through politics, through fashion, through technology. And that this can happen even through people who may not know God. John Calvin, one of the great reformers who has influenced our own Presbyterian tradition, has said, people cannot open their eyes without being compelled to see him. And the H in the word him there is capitalized, which of course refers to who? To God. And what he's saying is God is in all things in some way, shape, or form for those who have faith. Abraham Kuyper, another one of the great reformers, is often quoted as saying these famous words, there is not one square inch of the entire creation about which Jesus Christ does not cry out, this is mine, this belongs to me. This was also the teaching of Saint Ignatius, one of the beloved saints of our Catholic brothers and sisters, and even our own faith. Ignatius clearly taught and celebrated that God is visible and present in all things. And so, if every square inch of creation belongs to Christ, one of the things that this series compels us then to uncover and explore and ask is, what might it mean that the world of the internet, the world of technology, is God's internet? What does it mean that the world of books and film and art and architecture and music and theater and all of God's creation, what does it mean that they are indeed God's creations? Is it not possible because of what we believe about common grace and specifically that the goodness of God in some measure falls on everyone? Is it not possible that God's Spirit might be speaking with an authority to our world through the Hunger Games? Or through the designs of Gustav Stickley? Or Louis Comfort Tiffany? How many people have looked at a Tiffany lamp and gone, wow. Might God have a message for us through the likes of Metallica, as well as Mother Teresa. And just as much as he might have a message for us from a mountaintop. Might God reveal something of his creation and compassion and love and power in a piece of pottery or a piece of music by Mendelssohn? Might there be something about God we could discover in the music of the Waylon Jennings? No, I did not misspeak. Google it up. There is such a group. It is not Waylon Jennings. Might God have a message for us through the music of these three women, the Waylon Jennings, as much as he might have a message for us through the wailing of his prophet Jeremiah? The answer to these questions, says this sermon series, is a resounding yes. You folks have heard this before, that John Calvin talks about all this by saying this is our sensus divinitis. It's that divine homing vice in our souls that allows us to experience something in the general revelation and say, God is something like this. When I went away to that conference in Atlanta and there were 1,300 pastors worshiping God and singing together, I had this overwhelming sense through that music that God is so much bigger than I can ever imagine or think. I think that's what music can do for us. And so we begin this series today with a look at music, and specifically a musician. The Old Testament reading this morning, which is one of everybody's favorites, Psalm 150, alludes to how music is a wonderful way to praise. And that there are a variety of instruments that can bring about that praise. But the psalmist ends his call to praise with the admonition to let everything that lives and breathes praise the Lord. And this morning, this living and breathing person is praising the Lord for Justin Hines and the instrument that he is and the instrument that he plays. I just happened to stumble across Justin. This was clearly a God moment for me. As soon as I heard him and saw him on television, I said, Christianity Culture Series next summer. There was an unbelievable experience. I was channel surfing and came across his concert that was part of a PBS special that you can check out online. And I was mesmerized. I was mesmerized by his voice and his stage presence, even from a wheelchair. So to give you a quick flavor of the man and his music, I want you to check this video out of an interview that he did on CBS Sunday Morning back in December of 2012. Check this out. So, you guys are going to have to go look at this, all right? Google up CBS Sunday Morning Justin Hines, and you can check out the rest of the interview with him. It's absolutely amazing. The song that he was the background for this particular interview is called Tell Me I'm Wrong. And it's the first single on his most recent album called Days to Recall. The music video for it, which is also just, it's absolutely incredible, incredibly inspiring music video. It was filmed primarily in Joplin, Missouri, following that devastating tornado that touched down there in late May just of last year. The tornado, of course, wiped out 30% of the city. And the video and the proceeds from it were dedicated to the Joplin community, to that community. And so a large part of the funding for rebuilding that particular city came from Justin Hines. And when I heard that and I saw him on stage and I heard specifically about what he's doing in South Africa, and that's something that you really need to go to the video to check out. There's another song that we're going to listen to right at the end of the sermon today that inspired a fundraising effort for schools in South Africa. And through those efforts, he was able to build 20 schools. 20 schools in South Africa for people that really needed that education. And when I heard that, my sensus divinitus led me to that one small piece of special revelation in John's Gospel where Jesus says early on in his farewell discourse to his disciples, and I love the way the voice translates that passage. I will tell you the truth, Jesus said. Whoever believes in me will be able to do what I have done. But they will also do even greater things. Even greater things than what Jesus did. Because he goes to the Father. That verse has always been one of my favorite verses that I have loved so much and held on to, especially when my able body is telling me that things are unbearable and impossible. Whoever believes, Jesus says, will be able to not only do the things that Jesus did, but even greater things. Even greater things, good people of faith. Imagine that, greater things than even the resurrection. Yes, greater things. Or maybe better, we will be able to do things like the resurrection. So maybe what Justin Hines did for Joplin, Missouri in South Africa, maybe what we did last Sunday for the Samaritan Center and the Chadwick House, maybe the Ebenezer Fund that has put together some money to drill a well in Haiti, maybe all this is exactly what Jesus was talking about here in the Gospel of John. Greater works than his. Little resurrections for people who are hurting and helpless. Exactly. So Justin Hines' music and his life encourages me, and hopefully us, to consider what greater works we might do in Jesus' name. And one of the things just might be able to be, to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15 puts it that way. And Justin Hines puts it this way. Say what you will. Watch hopefully all of this music video. And if you want to glance at the words again, they're on the back of that half sheet in your bulletin. But again, you might want to save the words for later because it's a pretty powerful video to just kind of watch and listen to. So check this out.
God, thank you so much for the witness of Justin Hines, and I pray, Lord, that as we think about the great things that he has done against all odds, may we and our able bodies be inspired to do even greater things than Jesus and fulfill the Scriptures. And Father, help us as one of those great things to be able to always speak the truth in love and so grow up in every way to you who is the head, who is Christ.